It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
European officials decide there is such a thing as too much Google. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The European Commission today imposed an eye-watering $2.7 billion fine on Google. European antitrust officials claim the internet giant broke competition law in Europe by giving Google's own price comparison shopping service unfair advantages. BBC business correspondent Theo Leggett filed this for us.
The commission said the size of the fine, the largest it has ever imposed in a competition case, reflected the gravity of the offence. Google was targeted because of the way in which paid-for advertising is presented on its site. Its own Google Shopping feature, which allows consumers to see pictures of products alongside details of the shops which sell them and their prices, is displayed prominently on both Google's desktop and mobile sites. However, the commission says that rival price comparison services are often much less visible, and in fact are sometimes deliberately pushed down the rankings. Google says it respectfully disagrees with the commission's decision, which it'll study while it considers an appeal.
The BBC's Theo Leggett. In early trading, key stock indices were down just slightly. Bonds, the 10-year Treasury note, was down, pushing the benchmark for interest rates in America up to 2.18%. We learned today that house prices went up again in April, up 5.7% in 20 major U.S. cities. Prices are going up twice as fast as average wages. Later this week, we get the headline measure of U.S. economic growth, GDP. Let's check in with Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. If we look carefully, Julia, at that growth report on Thursday, there will be a read on inflation in there, too?
We get the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation later this week, and it is expected to fall again. It's been falling of late, which is a bit of a mystery given that the economy is supposedly nearing full employment. So this is a bit of a conundrum that the Fed is facing as it tries to raise interest rates.
Yeah, because part of the Fed's calculation is, well, we got to be sure that inflation doesn't take off. It doesn't seem like it's taking off. We'll see what happens Thursday. What we learned in economics class seems a little dated these days.
There is some work out there that does suggest that inflation, both, you know, consumer prices as well as wages, are increasingly determined globally, not domestically. So it doesn't really matter where the U.S. economy is per se, but where the global economy is, because whether you're producing goods or services here or abroad, you have to be competitive globally. And so that would mean that actually the Fed doesn't have much control over inflation in the United States.
All right. Well, just don't tell them that. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Big story of the past 24 hours is that Republicans in the Senate have come up with a way to make health care $321 billion cheaper for the government to run over the next decade. This, according to the Congressional Budget Office, comes at the cost of leaving 22 million people without coverage. Meanwhile, far away from Capitol Hill, there are ongoing experiments in keeping health care costs down and making people healthier. Given that 86% of all health spending was for folks with chronic illness, there's been some success in monitoring people in their homes instead of down at the clinic or the hospital. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports that for all the nice technology, it's still a challenge to get patients to embrace this.
A great way to avoid strokes? Control high blood pressure. That's tricky, though, says 71-year-old Cheryl Larson, who suffers from the condition, because it can be hard to know when it's elevated.
You know that blood pressure is a silent killer. Sometimes you can have extremely high or extremely low blood pressure and not have symptoms.
Last year, Larson, who lives in New Mexico, jumped at the chance to volunteer for a remote monitoring program being launched by Dartmouth Hitchcock Health System in New Hampshire. The program, called Imagine Care, mailed her a blood pressure cuff and set her up so, through her phone, she could send readings to medical staff 24/7. The check-ins paid off after she hit a stretch when her blood pressure kept climbing.
If I hadn't had somebody to check the blood pressure reading and someone to alert me that it was dangerous, I could have gone on for days and days until I did have an episode of some sort. Then I would have been in the hospital.
In the old days, before smartphones and high-tech electronic medical equipment, insurers tried to get their members to monitor their chronic conditions by mailing people pamphlets or calling to check in. Thanks to the new wave of technology, it's easier than ever for doctors and nurses to stay in contact with their chronically ill patients. But even with this power, Dartmouth-Hitchcock CEO Jim Weinstein says the secret to success remains the same.
I think engagement is important, and that's why we've spent a lot of time on the design of this, using people in the hotel business.
Weinstein says his team borrowed lessons from the hospitality sector, so they simplified technology and trained staff to develop patient relationships. That helps explain why ImagineCare reduced hospital admissions 56% and saw patient satisfaction soar over their one-year pilot. Dr. Joseph Kavadar with Massachusetts General Hospital, a leading researcher in the field, says deeper patient connections will help approaches like ImagineCare due to what's called the sentinel effect.
The fact that they care that nurse on the other end is watching their information and they don't want to disappoint that person encourages them to behave differently.
Dozens and dozens of companies recognize the potential in the new technological tools, but Kavadar says no one has yet to show remote monitoring improves health over more than a 12-month period. Until that happens, the quest to control chronic conditions and the spending that goes along with it will continue. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And never play this game. Is it faster to take the plane or the train, given the rigmarole of air travel? There's news. Someone who knows all about this calculus will become the new CEO of Amtrak. It's Richard Anderson, the former boss at Delta Airlines. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.